quality of life is it's a very subjective term, and what might be quality to one person may not necessarily be quality to another. And what you'll find is that most quality of life determinations are often made by people who are not living that life. So how do we define quality? Is it somebody who has the use of their brain? Is it somebody who is mobile? A lot of the, in my research, for example, the nurses talked about the quality of life of the parents being just as important as the quality of life for the surviving baby. And that's interesting because they've seen families torn apart. They've seen parents take babies home and not be able to get the resources for them. So I think it really depends on how you define quality and whose quality is more important.
Your research has been looking at that very question, how nurses define quality of life. Could you give us a bit of an overview of how they made those distinctions?
You'd find that, for example, the nurses would see that whilst the quality of life for the surviving extremely premature baby was important, somebody has to take that baby home. So they would actually see the quality of life of the family, the siblings, as being just as important. And in fact, for many of them, that quality of life of that family was more important.
I found it quite interesting that in this paper, the nurses spoke about the brain being developed was more important than physical development. Could you explain that a bit?
It's not uncommon for people to feel that the brain is important. And in fact, the brain is about thinking and being able to do things. So they felt that a cognitive disability was worse than a physical disability because people, and they gave lots of examples. So people with a physical disability are still able to do things. You know, they may need some help and that kind of thing. But they felt that the brain was of particular significance and that when it was damaged, there was likely to be a worse outcome.
And how do nurses think parents perceive the difference between physical and cognitive disabilities?
One of the problems is that when you look at a baby whose brain has been injured because of extreme prematurity or birth asphyxia, you can't see inside the brain. So the parents just see their beautiful baby lying there. Whereas, say, a physical disability like an abdominal wall defect, like a gastroschisis, where the gut has actually been born on the outside, we know that after surgery, that's likely to have a really good outcome. So the people would see that that kind of physical defect, they think that would be worse than the brain. But as I said, nobody can see what's happening in the brain, and this baby just looks beautiful to them, but they can't see the damage that's been done.
Who makes the decisions about a baby's quality of life?
First and foremost, there would be some diagnostics. So what they are trying to do is determine, and there's a lot of uncertainty, but what they're trying to determine is how the brain has been damaged and what's the impact of that damage and what's going to be the impact on that child. There are times when the damage is so severe that they will allow nature to take its course or, in consultation with parents, withdraw treatment. That is one of the hardest things for a parent to get their head around, the loss of a much-loved baby. These decisions are never taken unilaterally. There is always discussion with families. They're brought up to speed in terms of what the possible outcomes could be, and then decisions are made. So there's certainly decisions that are not made lightly. There's more and more evidence about brain injury in extremely premature baby and what the outcomes are likely to be. And parents are very much involved in these decisions.
Because in a lot of these things, because babies are young and they've still got so much development to do, you don't actually know what the real outcome is going to be for several years. How do you project what might happen to that baby and whether their quality of life will be worth it 10 years down the track?
very difficult to determine. Most of the major disabilities will have arrived before 1 year of age, but you're absolutely right. The uncertainty is what certainly gets to a lot of the nurses, and I have spoken previously about the uncertainty of the outcomes of these babies. I think that the best available evidence is used and, you know, given to the parents, and they make the decision about what they think is in the best interest of their child, and how do you determine a child's best interest. So this whole area is a huge minefield.
Are there specific clinical guidelines for deciding whether an extremely premature baby should live or whether treatment should be withdrawn? Is things like birth weight taken into account?
There are things that are taken into account, for example, birth weight, gestation, what the the health of the mother, because all of those things actually impact on the outcome. They scan the brain to see if there's any damage. They look at lung damage. The problem with babies of extreme prematurity is that they're born at a time when their organs are all present, but they need a lot more maturation, and it's during that time that the very technology designed to save them can damage. So it's a really a clinical guideline is not terribly helpful when you are dealing with somebody's much wanted baby. A clinical guideline can give an indication of, well, these are the things that we might be dealing with, but it should be every baby, every circumstance should be taken on an individual basis rather than blanket rules about babies, extremely premature babies in general, because what they do know is that some can have a good outcome and some can have a poor outcome, and at times it's really difficult to know which one's going to be which.
Is there a single definition for quality of life?
There's quite a few definitions of quality of life, but the problem is that they're subjective. So what does quality mean? Does quality mean an attribute in relation to physical development and well-being? The thing about quality of life is that it's really important to remember that this is not about the value of the person. It's about what is anticipated that their life would be like and whether they'll actually get something out of their life. So quality of life determinations are not meant to be value judgments. They, in terms of the value of that particular patient, but they are very subjective, because one person, and as I've said, you know, as one of the nurses in my study said, that if you are the parents and you've had many years of IVF treatments and you've had an extremely premature baby, they may think differently about the quality of life of that baby than now that they've had, you know, all of the IVF treatments and are desperate to be parents. So it's highly subjective, and the reality is we probably have to use something, but I don't necessarily know if we're there yet in terms of the best determinants.
Yeah. You just mentioned that technology is increasing our ability to save these babies' lives, but we do need to look forward and see what their quality of life is. As we have to keep making these decisions, is quality of life the best determinant? Is the best interest of the child? What sort of criteria should we be using or start developing to make these decisions?
You're still in a minefield, because when we look at best interest, well, how do you determine what the best interest of a child is? Because surely the best interest of an extremely premature baby who survives, their best interest is entwined in their family's best interest, because somebody has to care for the child. So I'm not sure that just looking at the child's best interest is helpful. I think we need a bigger picture view of best interest of the child and the family, and the same for quality of life of the child and the family. I don't know the answer. As I said, it's an ethical minefield. But with the capacity for technology to be able to save smaller and smaller babies, and we know that some of these babies do incredibly well, and we also know that some of them do incredibly poorly. So we need to determine ways in it so that we're not saving indiscriminately.